Amen. This I believe. We come to this fourth message that we're dealing with the creed tonight. And then next Sunday night, we'll finish up. Dr. James Walker is going to be here. I'll be right here with you, looking forward to hearing him as he talks about cults and activity of what we shouldn't believe. And tonight, we finish up what we do believe. Now, there's more in this last segment of the creed than I can ever get to, all right? The last part, we talked about the Holy Spirit last week, and then there are these lines. I believe in the Church of the Living God. Amen for the church. I'm a part of the church. I believe in the church. I believe in the local church, which is like Olive and other churches that are here. I noticed the other day, we were doing a little history study. 50-some-odd years ago, we started Hillcrest Baptist Church. We started it with $4,000. Took $4,000 to start that church. You think that's a good investment? You go over to that multi-million-dollar complex now. Wow. If I could get that return on $4,000 tonight, I'd be sowing me some seed somewhere, wouldn't you? Amen. I believe in the Church of the Living God. I believe in the local church. I believe in the universal church. That's all of God's children together. I talked with a good buddy of mine this week. He's been invited to the Vatican. He's a Baptist. And they're having a conclave about same-sex marriage, and they've invited the Baptists to come to Rome. He called me. He said, "You think I ought to do this?" I said, "Are they feeding you for free?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I'd go in a heartbeat." Now, a lot of people give you grief about that, all right? I understand. I mean, we were just joking. And he said, "Well, do you really think?" I said, "I tell you what, if Notre Dame beats Syracuse tonight, then that ought to be your sign to go, all right? It's just be a part of that." The church of the living God, all the redeemed are a part of the church. Then there is the communion of saints. That's a fellowship of God's people. One-to-one. We have communion with the saints. Amen. We're all on the same team, and we need to get over this competitive scenario, okay? All of these folks in these churches that we believe alike and with and go, we may do some things different or have these little nuances that are different, but I'm telling you, there is the communion of the saints of God. You better get along down here, you're going to have to get along up there. There's communion. The forgiveness of sins. I believe in the forgiveness of sin. Thank God for forgiveness. Amen. And I'm telling you, God is the only one that can absolve you of your sin. And then there is this line that I want to deal with tonight, the resurrection of the body. The resurrection of the body. I think it was last Sunday, one of our men came to me, I think it was last Sunday night, came straight to me and said, "Now, Pastor, My son died, so now help me. I just want to nail this down again. What happens that, you know, he died and he's with the Lord, but his body's here, but is he with God, or is there a waiting period or resurrection of the body?" We're going to talk about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to go there tonight. 1 Corinthians 15. And Paul begins to dive into this with the questions in verse 35. We'll read 1 Corinthians 15, 35. We'll skip down to verse 42 and read through verse 50. So you've got the Word of God open there with you. Come up on the screen. You'll see this 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. Paul is dealing with questions. Here they are. "But someone will say, how are the dead raised?" That's a great question. How do we get up out of here? "And what kind of body, with what kind of body do they come?" How are you raised, and what kind of body you get? Resurrection. Now we think about these questions, they're so far above us, we don't know. I mean, we read in Scripture, but we've never experienced, we've never seen one to touch it and say, okay, that's the closest thing we have is the resurrection of Jesus. But we just don't see this. And so by faith, you have to go by what Paul tells us in this text. Skip down to verse number 42. "So also in the resurrection of the dead, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, it's raised an imperishable body. It's sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, becoming a living soul. The last man, Adam, that's Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. What a great line. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have been have borne the image of the earthy, we also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. And then he goes on to talk about the mystery, and we're all going to die and sleep, and we're going to have this perishable's got to put on the imperishable, and there's coming a day where we will ask the question, death, where's your sting? And grave, where's your victory? And we find the victory is in Christ, but the question is the resurrection of the body. So, we got a body. How's yours doing? Huh? How's it doing? Doing all right? Got a little heart murmur? Got a little limp? Sciatic kind of at you? Yeah? Test tomorrow? Going in, test. Prayed about that this morning. Got this little lump spot over here. Can't see. Helen's going for surgery Wednesday. Sits right here. She's going to have surgery. Miss Marjorie's going to be, she told Miss Marjorie, I was legally blind. She just kids me awful. I said, how am I looking? She said, you're the best you've ever looked to me right now. I asked her, I said, can you read those words on the screen? She said, I can see the word Mexico. It's in big letters. I can't read any of the rest of that. Body. You see, this body's wearing out. So he asked the question about how will the dead be raised? And then what kind of body do we get? Now, the question always arises here about cremation. Fastest way rising in the world about being buried is the cremation. I can make a case. It's a weak biblical case that you shouldn't do it, but you ain't going to do it to me. But some people like that, and they do it. Do you know that when Patton died, General Patton, I'm reading the book about from Bill O'Reilly about Patton right now. When they buried Patton, his wife, they would not allow them to bury her next to him in Europe. So she was cremated, and actually they snuck her ashes on a plane and took them to Europe, and the kids snuck the ashes to the grave and poured the ashes of his wife on his grave. Now, how's God going to get all that? Kyle Field, Texas A&M University, they've just redone the football stadium. Huge, huge controversy in College Station this year. They've added thousands of seats. I was there last year. It's a phenomenal place already, but now they're going to 106,000, building is huge. But what they did is when the stadium went up, they lowered the playing surface 8 feet. They went down 8 feet, dug out, put new sod. Do you know how many people's ashes have been sprinkled on Kyle Field since they built it? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people wanted their ashes on the football field. So where are those ashes? Out there in a landfill somewhere. Whoa, they got trouble in College Station. It's like somebody's disturbed the burial ground. Well, can God go find all that? Don't worry about that. I mean, unless you're lost, then you might want to have some concern. But see, there's all kind of questions about the body. Can we get it up? And what about the resurrection of the body? Well, here Paul gives some analogies. Beginning in verse 36, he starts with you food, which is not so what comes to life unless it dies. He says, first of all, there's an illustration of nature. The only way for something to live is for it to die. You got to put the wheat in the ground, it dies, and then it comes forth. Same way with the body. Then he says creation, that all flesh is not the same. Look in verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one flesh of men. There's another flesh of beasts, another flesh of birds, another of fish. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly one and the glory of the earthly is another. There is then, he goes on to talk about the dignity of the earth. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. And for star differs from star in glory. See, all of these things in creation are not the same. Your body is not the same as a dog. Your flesh, not the same. And then in the sun's not the same as the moon, and the moon not the same as the stars. He's just saying everything that has this physical form is different. So it is with us, and you are different than anything else that's ever been created. You are the apple of God's eye. Your body is special. You've been made like nothing else has ever been made before. You are a thinking spirit man, a volitional person, and this body is just different than any other body. Now listen to me. When a saved man dies, or a woman, when a saved person dies, they are immediately, presto, bingo, in the presence of the Lord God. They're absent from the body. The body's gone. And the real man, I say this again and again, and someday some of y'all will get it. You are not a body that has a soul. No. You are a soul that has a body. Who you are shucks off what you look like. And you are in the presence of the Lord. And then those of us that are alive and remain, we go to the funeral home and we have embalming, and then we put you in a box, and then we put you in the ground, and we deal with you. And one day God's going to deal with your body, because the resurrection is coming. Because the body is important to us. And the question tonight is then, what of this body? What is the body like when we're resurrected? Well, he gives us four characteristics of the body, of the resurrected body in this text that we've read tonight. So I want to give you these four words, jot these down, and it'll help us. All right, here we go. Number one, the first characteristic of the resurrected body is that it is imperishable. It is imperishable. Notice it in verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. Imperishable. And if you go down to Publix right down here tonight, you go to the produce department, you've walked in to the perishable department. All right? You go back in 3 or 4 days, those won't be the same apples that are in there. If they are, find you a new store. See, they perish. They rot. But the body that you're going to have on the other side is going to be imperishable. It never wears out. Can I get a witness? It's healthy and strong. There's no aging process. It is youthful but mature. No disease.
No glasses. Great sight, taste. Are we going to eat over there? I believe we will. Don't have to have it for nourishment, but the taste buds will know something. It is a place of perfection. We don't understand it all, but we do know that the body will be imperishable. It never wears out. Now, I'm just telling you, this gets way over my pay grade in a hurry. Because everything I've known about the body is that it winds down. And the longer I live, the more I understand the winding down. You see a brand new little baby born, you just think they're going to be going forever. But no, they don't. It doesn't take long till there's issue. Well, we'll get to the other side. I'm here to tell you my grandbaby will be delighted to get there. She eat anything she wants, can't eat anything she wants to now. You can't have that, can't have that. Why? There's allergies. Breakout and all that stuff comes on you. Get to the other side. It's an imperishable body that never wears out. Look at it. There's a second word. Not only is it imperishable, it's glorious. It's glorious. Look in verse 43. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. The word glory is the word doxa here, and it means brightness or radiance. Daniel 12 and verse 3, Matthew 13 and 43 quotes the same verse where it says the righteousness will shine forth as the sun. Let me tell you, when you get to the other side, you will have a body that is imperishable. You will have a body that is glorious. It is like the transfigured body of Jesus when he was transfigured in Matthew 17 and verse number 2. The Bible says about that, if his face shone as the sun and his garments were white as snow. The question is, do you wear garments on the other side? I'll let you figure that out, okay? Jesus wore them in a glorified body. And they were radiant. They were white. See, I'm trusting we do wear garments. Because the Bible says that you will be known as you were known. I want to be known with garments. Amen. I don't know the answer to that question. But there's this glory. It's the light of the Spirit of God. See, the body is so different. It's hard to comprehend because the only thing we have to go on is what we can see here. But you've got to transcend that. You've got to get on another level. You've got to go where you've never been. And the Scripture takes us to a place that we've never experienced. And it's the place of glory. We just get little glimpses of it. And the glimpse is the transfiguration. It's the brightness of Daniel 12 and Matthew 13 where the righteousness of God is in us. Now, hear me, there are times, even here now, we are not Christ, but I want you to know, when the glory of God comes, I've witnessed it, I've seen it just a few times in people's life, where it's almost as if you can see the radiance of Christ in their life. The two times I believe I've ever witnessed that, I walked in a room one day, and it was there was great, and Billy Graham was sitting on the platform. And I don't know, it was just as if the glory of God was in that place. And there was just this, it wasn't a physical light, but there was an aura that came. I just believe he was so anointed and saturated with the glory of God. Now this is hokey. The other illustration is, my wife had prayed for days. We were thinking getting married, and I was preaching at the Delaney Street Baptist Church in Orlando, Florida. And we had talked about getting married, and she was struggling. You know, she wanted to marry a preacher and all of that. She said, I just don't think I want to do that. My daddy was a physician. He was out late at night and always going hither and yon. She said, I just wanted to marry somebody where I could build a house and live in one town all my life, and I know if I got married to a preacher, I never could do that. Well, God showed her. Amen. But she said she sat there. And when she saw me sitting on the platform, you can ask my wife, she said, it was like there was a light that was around you. And God said, That is what I want you to do. Yes, you need to say yes to that. She said, I looked back and it was no longer, there was just a radiance. It was there. I preached, I was dead sick. And when I walked down off the platform, she walked straight up to me that night and she looked me, she took me both hands, she looked me right in the face. She said, when you're ready to ask, the answer is yes. Whew. 6 weeks later. Sometimes 6 weeks scared me to death. I didn't get a light. I was looking for a light. No light. There are times I believe God, we just get a little snippet, and the snippet of that was really the transfiguration, maybe a few times in it. But when we get to the other side, the body is glorious. There's a radiance of God's touch in this body. It's an imperishable body. It's a glorious body. Sown perishable, raised imperishable. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Number three is the word powerful. Powerful. Look at it right here in the text. In verse 43, it's sown in weakness. This body we have is weak. It wears out. But it'll be raised in power. Power. Now, this does not mean superhuman power. But it means full and complete power. Full human power. This is as if when we get to the other side, it's like you are Samson every day. A powerful body that no man could tame or hold or tame down. There is power. And the power is this. He gives you the strength to conform to the will of God. Now that's when you really have power. Is when your life is conformed to the will of God. It's the power in our this kind of body we're given that we are in complete submission. See, here we have a body that's in weakness. We're so weak we want to do our own thing. There we have so much power that we have no problem being in total submission to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's the kind of body that we will have. It's a powerful body. Number four is the word that we all run to first, but it's given to us last, and that is spiritual. It is sown a natural body. You notice it right here in verse 44, sown a natural body, but it's raised a pneumata, a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual. Well, we know there's a natural body. I'm looking at a bunch of them tonight. There's a natural body, but there's also a spiritual body. To be spiritual is the physical body completely subject to and responsive to the Holy Spirit of God. That's the way we're supposed to live here, but we all fall short. But when the Holy Spirit is so dominant and we are in complete and perfect subjection, then we find that we're a spiritual body. This is the body that you see on the Emmaus Road. Two guys are walking and they're talking and they're saying, hey, you heard what's going on in Jerusalem? And all of a sudden there's a third man. It's the body of Jesus, the resurrected body of Jesus. And he's a spiritual man. Don't touch him. He's a spirit man. He's in his spiritual body and he's speaking unto them. This spiritual man in complete subjection and responsiveness to the Holy Spirit. It's like the two people that were going to be martyred. A blind man and a lame man were tied to a post to be burned to death for the faith. And the blind man says to the lame man, worry not, for the fire will heal both of us. They got to the other side, no one was lame and no one was blind. They were raised in a spiritual body. So when you die, and you will, if you're saved, you're immediately with the Father. You're right there with God. I mean, you're with him. That's the spirit man. But then there comes this day of resurrection, and he resurrects the body, and he takes, and we'll know you. We'll know who you are. Boy, I've just got lots of questions about all that. I've buried too many children. Do you remain a child in heaven or do you get to grow up? Well, when, you know, I bury and you're 95, do you have to be 95 all the time? Is Moses going to be 120 when we get there? I think everybody's 33. It's the age Jesus was when he died. I think that's good. Because the Bible does tell us in 1 John 3:2 that we will be like him when we get there. I don't know. I don't know if those kids grow or what. I just know that they are raised in a spiritual, powerful body that no longer is weak, but they are imperishable and they have the glory of God within them. So God's going to raise our body, so he cares about our body. So the application to this is, if God cares about our body, we should care about our body. What's that mean? That means when it comes to drugs and alcohol and diet, you ought to be careful. If God cares for your body for eternity, you ought to care for your body in this world. You ought to get up and walk a little bit. You ought to push back a little more. You ought to come closer to eating right, taking care of the temple of God. We don't like to talk about this. Baptists just like to talk about getting drunk and being against that, and taking crack and being against that. We don't want to talk about fried and being against that. Hello? Do you know how many times gluttony's in this book? And it's not a positive. Take care of our body. Secondly, we need to be reminded by way of application that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 50 tells us that. Know that flesh and blood, I don't care how good you are, what you've done, how well you take care of this body, how good you are to others, flesh and blood will not get into the kingdom. It will not do it. It is only the spirit man that obtains the kingdom. Don't think you can just work in this world and get there. It is for by grace are you saved through faith. Thirdly, as I said in 1 John 3:2, we will be like Jesus. You're going to be like Christ, 1 John 3:2. When we get to the other side, I don't know everything, but I know this. What Jesus is, we will be. We will be like him. And then I want you to take your Bible and go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I want you to know there is another resurrection. Not only the resurrection of the believer, but there's the resurrection of the lost. It's in Revelation 20, and beginning in verse 12, we read these words. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. History tells me, at least recent history, that U.S. Special Forces broke into a compound, shot and killed Osama bin Laden, who was not a Christ follower. His body was put on a helicopter and taken to a plane, and we are told that he was buried at sea. If he was shot and killed, I was not there, didn't see it. And if he was on that chopper and then put on that vessel, and if he was bound, and if he was not a believer and he never professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if he was buried at sea, this text says there's a day coming that the sea will give up its dead and Osama bin Laden will be one of those which was in the sea, and he will be given up, and he'll be judged, and his name will be found not in the book of life, and he'll be cast into the fire that burns forever and forever. And if you do not know Christ, and you die lost, someone will bury you somewhere in the ground or in the water or cremation or whatever, but the day will come when your body will be raised and you will stand and be judged. And if your name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll be consigned to hell forever and ever. Resurrection. When we say we believe in the resurrection, I do, but I believe twofold. Not only in the resurrection of the saved, there's going to be a resurrection of the lost. And we will all stand and give an account whether our name is found in God's book of redemption. Is your name there tonight? My name's there. Robert told me when his name was there. Leah spoke about when she understood her name was there. Ephesians says that my name was written there before foundation of the world. God knew before I knew, had my name in his book. I said, "Preacher, I don't understand that. I don't understand the resurrection of the body either. But I know the one that's taken me there is one who wrote my name down. There's going to be a roll call one day, and they're going to finally get to the T's. I'm so tired of being at the end of the alphabet. Even now, I go to a Baptist meeting. I can take a nap before the roll call. I get to the end. And then it's always Ted Taylor. And I say, "He ain't here. They mispronounced my name." But there's a day coming when they're going to know my name, and they're going to pronounce it right, because it's written with the blood of the Lamb. In his book, he knows me. Hallelujah. He knows me. See, the important thing is not who knows you, who you know. The important thing is who knows you. And if he knows you, all is well. I tell people that all the time. I'll get in something, something will happen other than that. So I tell you, man, it's just like going to heaven. It's who knows you. I got a guy in to see the Chicago Cubs this year when nobody could get a ticket. I called a guy that knew a guy, and he got him tickets, put him right in there in the manager's seat right behind home plate. I was right here in Pensacola, and those tickets wound up. He called me back. He said, "How in the world did you do that?" I said, "Man, it's just like going to heaven." I said, "It's who knows you." I knew the man that knew the man. They knew me, and all they had to do was make a phone call. The manager of the Cubs said, "Sure, I'll put four tickets right there in the manager's box seats. You can bring your sons-in-laws in here and watch a ball game." So that's pretty cool. Let me tell you, it's nothing compared to where we're going. And if you know him, you'll be raised. I believe in the resurrection of the dead. We're all going to die. The question is, which resurrection will you be in? Now tonight, we're going to give an invitation. We're going to do two things. Brother Robert, I want you to come and be here ready to play. And we're going to have a business meeting during the invitation. Now you got this little thing when you came in here. The only business we have to do tonight, there's nothing that we're doing. We're just giving you information, except we need to receive people into the church. And on page 2 and page 3 are all the people that joined last quarter. And you'll see all of their names, all those that were baptized last quarter, 91 of them, those by statement 48, and those by letter, they're 35. We've been through there and found all that to be in order. And when you turn the page, we had some coming, we had some a-going, all right? And on the other side, there are letters that we're granting, membership that's going out. We need to receive people into our church, and then we need to release people that have asked to be released to another place. So I'll entertain a motion that we do that. Thank you. Have a second, because there were two of them. Thank you. any question? I don't think there will be any, because we've been through it with a fine-tooth comb. Everything looks to be in order. All in favor of that signify by saying aye. All opposed by no. Now, it's important to be on the church roll, but I want to tell you something. Hear me now. You can be on this roll, not be on God's roll. Just because you're in the church roll doesn't mean you're in the Lamb's Book of Life. Talked to too many people, been church members, but not Christ followers. And so tonight, you're here and you say, Pastor, there's just some things I need to nail down tonight. There's some things about this resurrection that just touched my heart. And I need to come in confession. I need to come pray. I need to be a part of this church family tonight. I want to ask him just to begin to play. And as he plays softly just now, if God's calling in your heart, I'm going to ask everybody just bow your head, close your eyes, be praying. And while he plays, if God's call is in your heart, I want you just to get up and come right now. This is God's invitation in this service. Just get up and come. Get up and come right here. You say, Pastor, this is my night. Be a part of the family. This is my night to come in confession. This is my night. This is my night. You just step out and come. Well, Lord, I give you honor and glory. Thank you. Thank you for sending Christ, and thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you, Father, for raising the Son. Thank you, King Jesus, for occupying the throne. Lord, I thank you for the promise of resurrection. Lord, we fear not death because we have hope in eternal life. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll help us believe everything in your book to discern it and understand it. And we give you praise. Now I'm going to ask you to stand quietly with me. And Sharon, if you have, I'd like you to get the creed and put it up there. Can you get to it? Just let me know you can do that. Oh, look at her. Is she good? She didn't know that's coming. Let's read together. And Leah, you and the team come and be ready. And then we're going to sing a response song tonight. And give praise to the Father. But while they're getting in their place, I thought it'd be good for us just one more time to read together what we've been seeing on the screen as we started. I keep this two or three places in my life. And I just read it and I try to memorize it. And I sort of kind of have it sometimes. And then I don't. And then I do. But I always just kind of keep it right there where I can look at it. I keep it right in the front of my Bible all the time. Tomorrow night I'll be preaching in Graceville, Florida, a little church where they run 85 in Sunday school. I'm going over there to encourage a young preacher. Before I get up, I do two things. I'll sit on the front row while the special music's going on. I'll open my Bible. I'll read through the creed. And I'll say, Lord, I believe all that. Help me make it true. And then I got a picture of my family right here on the front. And I pray for my family before I preach every time I'm in some other place. And I just look there and I pray for them. I ask God's blessing on my kids. And then look over and say, Lord, I believe all that. And I do. Because one day I'm not going to be in that picture anymore. Because I'm going to the other side. Amen. Let's say it together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the church of the living God, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. You see that part where it tells us in that text that he's seated at the right hand of the Father? Marjorie Woody told me this morning she'd lost her eyesight and she's legally blind. I said, what's that mean? And she said, well, I can see some, but not all. I said, well, how are you doing? This was her word to me. She said, Pastor, God's still in charge. Jesus is on his throne and he ain't fell off. That's the way she said it. He ain't fell off. Hey, he's there tonight. He sits at the right hand of the Father praying for you, and he ain't fell off. He's not going to fall off. The throne
of heaven is occupied by the very Lamb of God. And we worship Him and we give Him praise this night. Let's do that right now, understanding He's there, and we give praise unto the Father.